Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Poet Rita Ann Higgins, good morning and welcome.
How are you? Thanks a million. Your office, your studio's gorgeous. I was in it before, but it looks like so colourful today.
Every time it looks great, does it? Yeah.
It's smashing.
I can't take any credit for this.
Love the colours. Love the mustard.
Okay, so look, usually you're not here, you're down the line from Galway. The reason you've come in to us today in person is because you've agreed to take part in a little experiment with us. And you know, the way people get nervous when someone tells them they're very brave, but I think you are very brave to do this. So this is an experiment about AI, but like, it's more than that. I think it's an inquiry into the nature of creativity, of humanity, maybe even the very notion of having a soul. Not to oversell it, like, but... Mm-hmm. So I suppose the question is, if you can fake poetry, like, can you fake humanity and soul in a way? So you're going to read two poems today. One will be a real Rita Ann Higgins poem, and one will be an AI-created poem in the style of Rita Ann Higgins. And like, the prompt to I think it was ChatGPT, was as simple as that. Write a poem in the style of Rita Ann Higgins. There was no rocket science involved. So what we want to know from all of you listening is if you can tell us which is the real poem written by human heart and head and suffering, and which is the AI poem. And to give us a broader context on this, and also to help us tease out some of the moral, ethical and practical questions around it, tech entrepreneur Mark Little is listening in our Cork studio. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Brendan and Rita Ann. How are you doing?
And Mark, thank you very much for being part of this groundbreaking experiment. Rita Ann, I'll talk to you first. Are you tech savvy? Like, do you use social media and that kind of thing?
I don't actually, Brendan. I never. I was on Facebook for about 2 days, and I couldn't cope with people liking me that didn't know me. You know, the ticks.
Yeah.
So I said to my daughter, "Take me off it." So I've never gone on Twitter.
Did you ever feel it was real? Like, no.
No, I didn't. And I it was, the sincerity is a big deal for me. And I just thought, how could people be ticking me when they don't tick the uptick when they don't know me? But anyway, I am fairly private. You wouldn't think that when I, you know, because I'm on the radio with you quite a lot. But I just want to be doing my work quietly and privately. So I don't have any Twitter or any of the other ones. And it annoys friends too when they want to send you something and you are not on the chat thing.
Yeah.
You can't open it. And
yeah.
You tell them a million times, "I'm not on that, so I can't see that picture or that article."
I don't think you're missing out on too much.
I'm missing nothing, honestly.
And how aware are you of AI? Have you used it?
I'm absolutely terrified of AI. There's a thing coming up on my phone now, Assist. So when I had to do a 3-minute pitch, I asked Assist, you know, Assist on your phone.
Yeah.
I said, how many words would a 3-minute pitch be? I had to do a pitch, but I couldn't have notes when I was doing it. You just have to speak it. And it said a 3-minute pitch will be 390 words.
The miracles of science.
I thought that was good. But
thank
generally
God for AI.
Speaking, I don't use it. I don't know how to use it.
Were you tempted this week to get ChatGPT to generate a fake Rita Ann Higgins poem? To see
my daughter said to me, "Don't do it."
Don't
I
do
wasn't
it.
Even tempted, Brendan. I mean, nice and beautiful things tempt me. You know, I wasn't tempted to do that.
What are you expecting the poem might be like? The fake one.
I have read the fake poem. You know that.
Okay.
So, because in case...
Well, don't tell us any of your observations.
Oh, no, I don't.
So, okay, yeah.
I wasn't supposed to read it first, but just in case I got a heart attack in the studio, they said we'd let you read the fake one as well.
Okay, yeah.
But sure, I'm reading the fake one today anyway.
Yes. We just to say again, you're going to read the fake one and the real one, but you're going to give them both equal welly now.
Oh,
it's important.
Absolutely.
I don't want you trying to hobble the fake one like or anything.
I'm going to earn my keep for that beautiful hotel last night, and a rider has to go in and want the same hotel forevermore.
Okay, that's a pity now you told people that. They'll all want to
hotel.
So the AI poem was generated in like a few seconds, literally.
Yeah.
How long would it take you to write a poem?
Well, the first draft is always by the biro. You know, you write down the first draft and then you type the second one and the third one and you keep going. And you, like, often for the pandemic poems, I'd be 15 drafts in, 16 drafts in, and then I'd lose interest and I'd say that must be finished. But like you'd rarely get the lucky poem or the gift poem that you just... They all have to appear as if they come clean off the spoon. Yeah. I think it was Keats that said that. But they you have to work on them.
Yeah, sure. I remember, like, with those pandemic poems that you were writing pretty much in real time.
Yeah.
You'd send one in on Friday and it would change another five times before you get to Saturday. Yeah. Come here. I was reading, you sent me this thing, a manifesto for poetry. What does a poem need to be a poem?
Well, it can be anything, I think. You know, there's no hard and fast rules. It doesn't have to be nice.
Yeah.
But you want to...
Lucky for you.
Yeah, yeah, lucky for me, exactly. But you want it to kind of resonate at some level with you. And you want to see... if it's too abstract, it's tough going, but you like a link with it and you wanted to say something. And what is it saying? How is it saying it? Does it work? But it really is. It's up to you. The words are well able for the battering you could give them. They're malleable. You know, you can say anything, you can do anything, but you have to have respect for who might be on the receiving end of it as well.
Okay, but you have to batter the words, do you?
Well, you could. Sometimes you'd have to make sure that that sound matches that sound. And is that, are you doing a half rhyme? Are you actually, you're looking at what you've done before and you're saying, well, that's odd. That just is very limp. That's lame. That's not working there. I'm going to rewrite that another few times and make it work. And it's, and then you have the commissioned poem, which the commissioned poem is really scary because you have to kind of research that poem. That isn't coming from the heart, soul and the large intestine initially, but you still have all that background that you have to do to get the commissioned poem. And then you work on it equally.
So that's more an artisanal work maybe than an
absolute. It's still creative. It's still creative and it's still.
No, I know.
It still counts and it's still you stand by it.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the fact that to write the fake poem, ChatGPT obviously used your poems?
Well, it's a little bit, you feel a little bit edgy about that and nervous and scary. And, you know, who do you shout at for that liberty? Who do you say anything to about? It is an infringement, you know. But I was at a course recently and there was a thing, the first thing that came up on the course was all models are wrong, but some are useful. And it was written by a statistician, George E. P. Box. So some things are good. All models are wrong, but some are useful. So some good thing might come out of it. But you're left feeling, well, nobody asked me.
Yeah.
And if you're misrepresented in it, then where does it go? Where does that leave you, your voice?
Yeah.
Or your credibility, or your, to use the horrible word, brand. If AI were doing a poem and it's not me and it's out there as me, where does it leave me? What big authority would even listen? And what small publisher could be taking AI to court? And who is AI? What is AI? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you've two poems in front of you.
Okay.
One you've written, one AI generated. So I'm going to ask you now to read them both with the same Rita Ann delivery we've come to know and love. And we'll ask people then to text into 51551 to say which one they think is the fake. OK, so Rita Ann, will you read the first one?
The party. The dancers came out of a hole in the wall. They danced to Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. Women had bright clothes on, a splash of gingham, a spray of cerise. Yellow umbrellas were all the raging. So were little rat dogs. They danced too, kind of. They were leashed around swinging on the bins of chairs. A man shadow danced on his fingertips, his nails worn down. He had fences on his teeth, not the type you jump, but the type you jump over to kiss them mossy green and whites. I was seeing them upside down, so don't get me wrong. He whistled out in the rain, and my hair went all woof woof. I was la-la-lying to a two-man band. Then he said, all wide-eyed, remember the Buckle Factory. I'm heading in your direction, honey. Keep your sacred heart light burning. Keep your side gate a-swing.
Okay, so that's the first poem, The Party. Okay, so read us the second poem now.
They said I should be grateful. They said I should be grateful for the bed in the back room where the radiator rattles like a drunk uncle at Christmas and the mould blooms faster than my job applications. They said I should smile more. Jesus, smile. As if my teeth were paid for by the Department of Sunny Dispositions. Mam said, don't be cheeky to the priest, the teacher, the man at the dole. But I've had it up to here with rosary beads and rotten sausages. I wanted a degree. They handed me a mop. I asked for justice. They gave me charity and a coupon for frozen peas. Grateful. I'd be grateful if they'd stop building hotels on top of the bones of women with names nobody remembers, except their sisters.
Okay. That's the second poem. That's called They Said I Should Be Grateful. The first one was called The Party. And we already have split decisions coming in from people. Rita Ann, so text in 51551 or email brendan@rte.ie. Which is the AI poem? Is it They Said I Should Be Grateful or is it The Party? And put on your headphones, Rita Ann.
All right.
Mark Little.
Yes.
Okay, any thoughts on which poem is the Rita-Ann poem and which is the AI Rita-Ann poem?
So I got to look at the text in advance, I have to say.
Okay.
And first of all, I thought the real one was The Party, because what AI tends to do is take a fact and mangle it. And I was checking out Willie Nelson's song, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. It's actually true, and it's consistent with the rest of the poem. So I was initially saying
Okay. Don't give anything away, yeah.
But the second I feel is the Rita Ann poem. So I think they said I should be grateful. I think is the real Rita Ann poem because, I mean, just take that lines there. I'll be grateful if they stop building hotels on top of the bones of women with names nobody remembers except their sisters. In that, like, is a bundle of something very powerful. I think that's what just gets me. And I may now look foolish, but I'm going for they said I should be grateful.
No. You think that there's a chance we're more likely to think that the fake one is real. Is that right?
There's hard evidence. There was a Nature magazine survey that says more people go for the AI-generated poem as the real one when compared with real poetry from great poets, because the AI has understood something very shocking for us, is that we don't truly understand poetry. We want it to be simple and easy to understand. So when the AI generates something that's a replica of a famous poet, people tend, not overwhelmingly, but most people go for the fake one because it's more human than human itself. And that's what's, I suppose, for me, the lesson here is that more people like it because poetry in many ways has become too difficult for people. We're surrounded by kind of saccharine poetry, the Hallmark cards, the, you know, the testimonials or the quotes we take from celebrities or famous people. So we're surrounded by a very simplified form of poetry, and that leads people to be more wrong than right when choosing which is the AI.
Okay. This is mind-bending. Like, so in a way, you're saying that people might prefer AI poetry because it feels more like poetry to them because they don't know anything about poetry.
Well, think about it. It's part of the homogenization, you know, that more and more the background music and the background art is all so homogenous and middle of the road. We can walk into an elevator and walk out. We can see stuff on the walls and the ads, and everything has been reduced now to a single common denominator. So our background world is becoming so much more homogenized, and that's
that
why
AI is familiar to us.
And it gets us. It gets exactly that point about this. It's like got a certain empathy, but a bit like a performer or someone who tells a joke, their first time they say it, they're hilarious. Their 16th joke, you're just bored. That's AI.
Okay. Okay. This is extraordinary. So there are hundreds of texts and so they're split. So Alan's giving me what the split is, right? It looks like about 70% think the party is the AI one. And about 30% think they said I should be grateful is the AI one. And Mark Little also, who knows more about AI than all of us, thinks they said I should be grateful is the AI one. So will we reveal, Rhiannon, which one was the real poem?
Did Mark say that he thought...
Mark, you thought they said I should be grateful is the AI one, yeah.
No, I said the real
no,
one.
No, or the he real thought that one. Was yeah. the real one.
The real one, sorry, that's what I meant, yeah. I'm confusing myself now. Because particularly that final little stanza of it you felt.
Yeah, and can I give a confession here?
Yeah.
I put this into two AI detection services. One said both were AI. One said both were human. The test that as you may.
Okay. Wow. Rhiannon, was the party the real poem or was they said I should be grateful the real poem?
The party was the real poem.
Ooh.
Okay.
And I had dedicated it to Maura Kennedy, but I didn't read out the dedication in case she then knew that it was a real poem.
Okay.
That's the real one.
So about two-thirds, three-quarters of people were wrong. How does that make you feel, Rhiannon?
It doesn't bother me that much, Brendan, because I had a nice hotel. Sorry. Only joking.
It was an okay hotel, I stress. A rooming house, you'd almost call it.
Seven-star hotels. Yeah, yeah. No, but it's weird, you know, because I thought everybody will know straight away the party is me, you know, that's my poem. Because the other poem...
Yeah, tell me what your... Break down the other poem
okay,
for me.
Okay, so the other poem, I thought the first stanza and I thought the last stanza had something, right?
Okay.
I thought they really...
Do we have time? Can she read the first stanza and the last stanza
okay,
again?
I'll quickly go the first stanza. They said I should be grateful for the bed in the back room where the radiator rattles like a drunk uncle at Christmas and the mould blooms faster than my job applications. That's the first one. The last stanza is grateful. I'd be grateful if they'd stop building hotels on top of the bones of women with names nobody remembers except their sisters. So like that first stanza there, I thought there's a great surge there, you know, there's some surge of something, but it peters out with the mould blooms faster than my job applications. There's a shift in it, and I felt that the poem itself bits of it were taken from interviews I had.
So can you see the roots of a lot of it? You can
I said in interviews more than in poems. I have a radiator. If you want to hear a radiator sing, that's a title of a poem. And I have a poem called Why I Refuse to Be Gracious. It's a very old, very old poem. So that's where they got the title. And it was Bob Quinn that asked me for a poem for Force 10 journal back in 89 or something or some a long time ago, and I gave him that poem Why I Refuse to Be Gracious, and it was satirical, you know, and it was just so that's where the title came from. And then maybe the radiator, I don't know who I never had a drunk uncle in a poem, even though I come from a long line of...
So you can see how this scraping might have happened here.
Yeah, but even the terminology is chilling, isn't it? Scraping and harvesting. Isn't it chilling when you even say those words? But I can see how it happened. But I'd say more that there are interviews. Here's a line that dips badly, I think. Mam said, don't be cheeky to the priest, the teacher, the man at the dole. But I've had it up to here with rosary beads and rotten sausages. But sure... Okay, the rosary beads bit is okay, but the rotten sausages... I have a sausage factory in a poem.
Okay, just to clarify again, right? The first poem was the real poem. That was the party. the one that about 70% of you thought was the fake poem. The second poem they thought I should be grateful was the AI one. So, Mark,
yep.
Can you explain to us how the AI did this? So we can see that it obviously took scraps from here and there of Rita Ann, and then it put it together, but it doesn't know what it's talking about. Sure, it doesn't. Like, AI doesn't know the meaning of any of what it's saying, does it?
No, and it's what it's doing. And one of the things that jumps out for me, what Rita Ann explained there, is that, for example, ChatGPT has taken 10 trillion words, right, and put it into its machine to teach it, to basically be sort of a glorified form of autocorrect. Because Rita Ann said this, she's likely to say this. And she's exactly right about the word scraping. Another word that people use is crawling, which really makes you feel like it's insects going across the human language. It brings it back. And then essentially what's happening is that the vast majority of the information that these companies are scraping and crawling is not coming, as Rita Ann indicates, from her work. It's coming from the internet. It's coming from Wikipedia. It's coming from all of the interviews she may have done, and also Reddit conversations about her poetry. But only about 16% of the text used by ChatGPT, for example, is coming from the book collections themselves. And the big question is, how much of that is happening aligned with the law on copyright and things like fair use? And
yeah, you see, when Rita Ann says there, how does a small publisher, who is AI, how do you ring up and complain? And, you know, her integrity is kind of all she has in a way as a poet, like a truth teller.
And I think one thing that was I found offensive in the AI poem was, I wanted a degree that handed me a mop. So I would never say that. I have said in interviews that I would like to have, I don't have any degrees, that I'd like to have do a degree in NUIG at the time, and I didn't get chosen. It was a random selection. So I have said in a newspaper article that I don't have a review, but they handed me a mop. So is AI saying, well, if you don't have a degree, you'll end up mopping floors, insulting a whole swathe of the people, you know what I mean? Didn't like that
people
at all.
People are stunned. I'm devastated, says Beth is in Kildare. Goddamn AI. This, someone else says the second poem was too obvious in the comparisons and metaphors. Someone else says, I feel like a Philistine now as someone who likes poetry. They clearly got it wrong. Wow, I thought the line of the Sacred Heart wouldn't be something the AI would have gotten, says someone else. I'm absolutely shocked, Louise and Mayo, shocked. Mark, I was kind of shocked when I saw we generated two poems from AI. I was shocked when I saw them. Like, it does feel like it's getting better, like, by the week practically now at faking stuff, doesn't it?
It is, and I think one of the things that Rita Ann indicates there that is so scary is that all this data information that these machines are bringing in is full of the human biases and the kind of misogynistic language that's on social media platforms. So the absolute tragic irony of this machine churning out a copy of Rita Ann's work, which has stood for empowerment over her whole career, based on data that's full of the worst biases in humanity, is the first thing that scares me silly. And the second thing is, these companies, and again, this lack of ability for writers and poets and artists to find some way to have a voice here, because the dominant powers, the people in Silicon Valley who are building these machines at such pace, they see all the human messiness and emotion and feelings and all the inconsistencies of humanity as something to be solved, whereas artists hold that up as part of what we should be holding
timber
on to.
Yeah.
And I think that's when Nick Cave was sent a ChatGPT version of his songs. You know, he responded, he said, data doesn't suffer. And that suffering is what so much of his work's about. So I think for me, they are the two really scary things. If I'm to be devil's advocate and put in here maybe why there's a second side to this,
yeah,
it's that throughout history, technology has come along with, beginning with writing and printing, the photograph people said would kill off art. We have found ways to rise above these technologies and in some ways mobilize them to our purposes, because new art creates itself out of every new wave of technology. And some of the technologies, you know, I think about music, I think about the Delta Blues becoming the Rolling Stones, and you know, Motown becoming rap music. So there is this...
Yeah,
I
and
think,
actually, just to interrupt you there with the current example, so this band Velvet Sunset that people may have heard, they had racked up 1 million listeners on Spotify. Now, I think people twigged fairly quickly they were AI, but they finally admitted it this week. But I remember someone sending it to me a few weeks ago, and I... It just sent me one link to one song that I listened to in isolation. And I said, well, it's kind of cool, like, in the sense that it sounds like... I actually said it sounds like music that's been there forever. But as you say, this is what musicians have always done. So this crowd, Velvet Sunset, completely AI. Then I looked up to see, OK, but did a human sing it or whatever? No human involved whatsoever. It purely generated this 70s-style... kind of soft Americana rock out of nothing.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and something, if I might interrupt, Brendan, something himself said, Mark, you said earlier a certain empathy, and I found that kind of staggering, really. So you think AI has a certain empathy.
Yeah.
I didn't think it had.
Can I explain that? Because that's
okay.
A really
yeah.
crucial part of this, right? So empathy is, people tend to know what it means, which is, you know, you can see the world through the eyes of another person. But it happens when psychologists look at it. There's two types of empathy. There's a kind of a cognitive empathy, which is basically, I understand why this person has done something. The AI has got that. And more young people are turning to AI chatbots for therapy because it kind of thinks that it gets them. There's a second form of empathy, which is affective empathy, which is when you can sit with someone in that profound silence where you know why they feel how they feel. You can share that feeling. And that's what AI can never replicate. And if I could just give you an example of how like kind of cynical this is, I did put in a prompt to ask AI to tell me to write a poem about AI in the voice of Rita Ann Higgins. And just to quote one little bit at the end.
Yeah, go on, give us a bit, yeah.
It gave me back in 10 seconds a poem described. It says, "The machine that thinks it's clever" is the title. "They told me there's a computer now that writes poems better than Yeats, paints like Picasso, and knows more about heartbreak than a woman who's buried three husbands and a stillborn child. I said, does it know the weight of a wet nappy at 3 a.m.? Let your machine learn that. Let it learn the sound of a woman when she's trying not to wake the baby and the bailiffs at the same time. Then we'll talk about intelligence." And I really feel...
Okay, this is meta. No, that's convincing enough in a way, isn't it, Rita Ann?
Extraordinary, really, isn't it?
But also quite cynical, given what you said, Rita Ann, there, where this is all coming, now I realise, from predominantly your conversations, where... Yeah. I see some of the conversations you have, and I feel I have their own poetry, but different. The machine here has got the conversational Rita Ann on the radio, but obviously has decided this is what it wants. And it's a bit of almost a parody some ways I can see it. Like, it doesn't really have that sense of, as I say, this effective empathy of sitting with someone and understanding why they're feeling the emotion, which I think is the core of your poetry.
Yes, and it surges to nearly give you something great, and then it peters out. That's what I felt.
They nearly great. That's probably a great description of a lot of the art that AI will generate. Nearly
it's
great.
Nearly, you know, and it's they gave me charity and a coupon for frozen peas. Well, I do have butter vouchers in something.
Yeah.
So that may be where
so
that
it took
from.
Another product from the refrigerator instead just to mix things up a bit. But now, Mark, big but here, right? Are you're using AI to help you write your latest book, are you?
So I'm using AI, to basically sort of go and do a lot of the research I did on Google search. So the way it works for me is I have one AI where I throw all of the writing that I've read that's influenced me into a particular type of AI called Notebook LM, and then it can basically take all of the things that have influenced me and basically go in and mine the things that are consistent and inconsistent. So recently I wrote a chapter of a book, put it in the AI, and it actually pointed out a contradiction in my work. It was telling me, right, that I got something wrong. So that's the way I'm using it, is to kind of test and iterate with people. But it would never be anything that I would ever use to create a finished product. And for me, that's kind of one of the critical differences. For me, AI, and I was thinking about it earlier on, Rita, and you're talking about your sense of the performative nature of social media. For me, since a kid, AI, the internet itself and computers have been a source of great creative joy for me. Like the first time I used a Macintosh, I could feel the creation happening. Or when I listened to music that I knew had been trained on other music, but with a great deal of a sense of the legacy owed to it. So that's where, for me, AI technology in general is a way to see how great ideas, great art transfers from one generation to the next. And AI for me, again, is a way to test out ideas. And I think that's the way it's most usefully used.
And as to go back to that quote I gave earlier about all models are wrong, but some are useful. So there must be, there could be, it's useful there.
And Mark, the next year or 18 months, you're saying there's going to be a huge surge in AI in our lives, yeah?
Yeah, and I think the analogy I think is like Wile E. Coyote going off the edge of the cliff, and like gravity just hasn't taken hold of us just yet. You know, we're in a stage now where AI is much better than search. So we're now starting to see AI replacing the old Google search you might do. The next wave is what they're calling agentic AI, where you like would go and book a holiday and the AI would go off on your behalf and interact with all the other systems or even manage your emails. Now, when that happens and AI becomes a representation of us, that's the major, I think, boundary we cross over. And the problem is that our politics and policymaking is just not keeping up. For example, copyright, compensation for art. So every one of us, the one thing I would say to you is, but this is not magic, right? I think the AI companies want us to feel that this is some magical wave or some magical climactic event. It's not. It's about human choices. And right now, I think all of us have to use today's conversation. Poetry is the canary in the coal mine. We have to think like poets. We have to look at the ways in which we can all become more human, aware of how we're being tricked, conscious of what's going on with AI, and most of all have this conversation where the politicians themselves have to be actively putting this to the top of the agenda so that we don't have, whole sections of our society put out of work in 18 months, or we don't have this wave of slop. Like, the vast majority of content on the internet by the end of this year will be synthetically created and distributed. How do we respond? Well, I think we've got to think like the poet. We've got to think about, looking at those things that make us truly human and leaning into them more, but also having that conversation with our children and going out and buying poetry. If there's one thing people do today is wake up.
Yeah. And listen, never mind the poets. I mean, if that's what it can do with poetry, what chance is there for the accountants and the lawyers and the administrators? First they came for the accountants, I said nothing. Then they came for the lawyers. Then they came for the poets. Listen, Mark Little, thank you so much for that. That was absolutely fascinating. Rita Ann, thank you for subjecting yourself to that today. And
I
there are so many people saying...
I'd do anything for a nice hotel.
They are very grateful to you for doing that. And I think people are literally gobsmacked by that. What else are you up to, Rita Ann, at the moment?
I've just finished a screenwriting course with the Stowe Story Labs in Galway. So I thought I needed to upskill, you know, at this time in my life.
Oh, God, I can't wait to hear the Rita Ann film.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Yeah. But I learned an awful lot from the Stowe group. You know, they're from Vermont and they're terrific.
OK, fantastic. Rita Ann Higgins, Mark Little, amazing. Thank you both so much. We'll take a break.